to register. There's a page with resource sheets. So I create resource lists for all my workshops. They're very comprehensive, and you're welcome to download it and share. So Civic Thinker, that would be the sort of the primary. Now, on the website, it tells you about a Facebook page that I have for Civics for Adults. Don't just go to Facebook and look up Civics for Adults, because there's another group that is very partisan that calls themselves Civics for Adults. I was there first, but Facebook doesn't seem to have a policy that allows me, you know, to get them to take it down. So do find the link to the Facebook group on my website. On that, and that group, it's not so much a discussion group as a mixture of announcements of workshops and also things that I post of a nonpartisan civic political nature. So I'll post, you know, hearings, congressional hearings, reports that are done, information on voter suppression, and so forth. So you can look at the Facebook group. And then I do have, for people who aren't on an email list, I mean, I'm sorry, who aren't on Facebook, but who would like to see some of those posts, then you can email me and I'll put you on my email list, which I use a couple times a month, and I would never give to anybody else. It's not the fastest way to find out about upcoming workshops, but it will give you some information on that and some of the posts that I put on the Facebook page.
I wanted to thank our guest, Donna Cohen, today, and also add my own appreciation. I believe that civic engagement is terribly important, and I think what, Donna, you're doing is absolutely terrific. Let people take a look at your website. And that website again was, Donna?
civicthinker.info.
And you'll find lots of good workshops, lots of good information. Donna, thank you, and thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Inside Washington County with Rob Solomon. Go to our website, insidewashco.org, to contact us or leave comments on this interview. This series is produced by Rick Paulson.
Good afternoon. Good evening. Good morning. Wherever you may be in the time zones all across the earth, whether you're in Portland, Oregon, where we're broadcasting from, listening to KBOO Community Radio on 90.7 FM, or whether you're on the web listening to us at KBOO.FM, welcome to another episode of Culture in Motion, twice monthly segment hosted by my co-host Ryan Danley and myself, where we...
What's up?
What up, what up, what up?
What up, what up?
Talk about the intersections between art, culture, music, politics, activism. And tonight we have a very special guest, Miss L, a hip hop artist, and she'll be joining us in a sec. Ryan, what's good?
Oh, well, it's been quite a crazy week, you know, with the election and everything going on, and dude not wanting to leave the White House. You know, I'm free to bounce a president out of a White House. I mean, you know, I'm not working right now, so, you know, I'll swing out there.
You'll swing out?
I don't know what the going rate is for a president bouncer, but I'll do it for like half the cash.
What, White House eviction? You know, I heard that those guys have Secret Service for life once they've had the job, though. So
yeah, that's cool. I got them, too.
Right. Miss L, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, especially after that big win this weekend. So, you know, good vibes. And, you know, we performed together on Friday. So, you know, I'm still on a high from that.
Yeah, I unfortunately missed your set, but your set was the talk of the night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a fun night. So, you know, great lineup. And it just feels good to be out performing.
Mm-hmm. So at the top of our conversation, you're a hip hop artist performing based out of Portland. But for the listeners who might want to look you up while they're listening to us, get to know you more, where can they find your music online?
So all streaming platforms, Spotify, you just have to type in Miss L. Instagram, Miss L Music, same thing for Facebook, YouTube, Miss L Music. Or to go back into my old archives of music, you can go to SoundCloud, Miss L Music as well.
Okay. You said your old archives, which leads me to the next question. How long have you been doing what you do?
So I started music when I was about 12 years old, and I wanted to be Mariah Carey on some soul music, but, you know, I just thought, all right, there's not a lot of female hip-hop artists. So when I was about 14, 15, you know, I just started doing talent shows and Nicki Minaj covers, and which then led into writing my own music. So it's been 10 years of making hip-hop music.
And what do you see being at it 10 years? Somebody once told me, I've been at this for almost 30 years now, somebody once told me that it takes 11 years to make it. I look back at that and I go, who told them that? So you got 1 year to make it. You think?
You better get your running shoes on.
All right, I'm ready.
Uh-huh. What is making it look like for you?
For me, it's just having the resources to create my art, and whether that be the producers I work with, the production team, just the stage presence, and just being able to have the budget and the resources to actually put out my best work. And so, and that also comes with collaboration and some of the artists that I've always looked up to. Like for me, Anderson .Paak would be a dream to work with. And so I think just having the resources and people actually feeling my music for longevity is the goal.
Okay. When I was coming up listening to hip hop, I listened to a lot of hip hop that was created by women as well as by men, and the field was dominated by men. So I was always excited to find an artist that was a woman, because to me there was an edge to not being overrepresented. How do you think about, you know, gender identity in terms of your artistry?
I think right off the bat, because I am a woman, that just stands out. And if you have the talent to have something to say that people want to listen to, that even takes you further. And so I think, especially being from Portland, where the hip hop scene has just been growing, I think I started when I was about 15 doing little restaurants here. And so the fact that I put my name in there so early, and as I've grown, you know, people have been able to see that progress and see that, you know, I'm from Portland, I'm doing this, and this really kind of brings me a staple into the community.
That's right. Ryan,
yeah,
go ahead, brother.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, I almost don't even want to talk to you about being a female artist, because I'm sure you get asked these questions all the time. But as Mike was saying, you know, like growing up, like, you know, I'm a little bit, you know, older, but not like old, but like, you know, old enough, that, you know, like, it was, you know, Latifah and Money Love, and like, you know, a lot of folks, and then I do feel like, you know, like, it almost hit like with Missy Elliott, and then it was like kind of like, it feels like there was just like a big drop off, and I don't know what happened in there, like, and then like, I mean, like currently, like my favorite hip hop artist is probably like Jean Grey, because I just think she just kills it, and like, you know, and she just, you know, like, and it's almost like just like, you know, like, and it's like, it's sad that we're even having to have this conversation, you know, because it seems like they're, you know, hip hop's been around long enough, and I mean, like. Like, you wouldn't sit down with somebody from R&B and have to be like, hey, well, let's talk about how it feels to be a female in R&B. You know what I mean? Like, we know that, like, soul singers and, you know, all sorts of other people have this, but, like, why hip-hop has sort of, you know, it's just an interesting thing, and I'm sure it's marketing and all that, all the usual villains, but, like, it's an interesting place. So, I mean, do you feel like you're having to talk about this a lot, or do you feel like it's like a constantly, like, something that's on your plate that you're a female artist?
Not really, honestly. I think people create with me and book me because they just like me and what I've put out. And I think when you are the only woman in an all-female, an all-male set, you kind of already come in with that edge and people are already wondering, oh, who's this girl coming up about to spit? So it sparks some people's attention. And I think with my music, I don't really make it female specific, my rhymes. I just create, you know, just that classic New York hip hop where I lived out there for a while in Brooklyn. And so the artist spitting is what I really focus on. And I went across gender, age, and if it's dope, it's dope.
Sure.
That's what's up. So El, you said you lived out there for a while. Were you born here or were you?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you moved out to the East Coast for a bit. Or you went to the East Coast?
I did. It was actually a deal with my parents where I said, I don't want to go to school, but I want to go to New York and, you know, learn the hip hop culture out there. And they said, if you take the scholarship that you're offered, then, you know, you can go out there, you can still do both. And so I said, all right, and got myself a track scholarship and traveled a bunch out there. And I just decided, like, if I'm going to be there, I need to pick up more skills and just learn, whether it be from music or through education in my business degree.
Mm-hmm. So were you performing a lot when you were on the East Coast?
Yes, I was open mics every single week.
In the Chinatown bus?
I was in Chinatown, I was in Brooklyn, Harlem, Queens, Staten Island, everywhere, in Jersey as well. And so, I mean, I got ripped to shreds when I was 18 and forgetting my lyrics up there. So that was just a huge learning curve.
Now, when you say ripped to shreds, what do you mean?
Like not having the professionalism of knowing how to pick up. Okay. And so everyone's just kind of looking at you and the song ends and they don't know whether to clap or like she didn't finish her song. And so it's just your heart drops and you're like, I don't know what to do next.
Right.
In front of a crowd, huh?
Mm-hmm. New Yorkers aren't that nice sometimes, so I learned the hard way.
Yeah, I got a knot in my stomach just listening. I said the Chinatown bus because I used to, you know, as an indie artist, not have the money to get on the plane. But on the East Coast, the cities are close together, so I would go from D.C. up to New York, you know, stop in Philly and take the Chinatown bus each way, you know, for like $7 or something crazy.
Yeah, I did that with upstate in Jersey quite a bit. Yeah. But yeah, I didn't know the East Coast like that. And so, you know, I didn't know what was going to happen if I showed up in a city. I didn't know what I was doing.
No doubt.
So how do you feel about what's going on? You said you and Mike performed. Where were you all at?
Yeah, so on Friday we performed at Alberta Street Pub and they had their grand opening. And so, you know, I've had maybe 3 shows in 2020. So that was just good practice rather than just spitting in my room to just go out there and perform and to figure out here are the songs that I've been working on for this past year that are connecting to people. And, you know, this would be a good song for the next gigs. And so I think right now it's just a learning curve and to test out my music that I've been working on for so long.
How is COVID, you know, like you said, we played a live show at the grand reopening of the Alberta Street Pub, but no, the uncertainty is really a real thing, you know. How has that impacted what you see for yourself in your career?
Well, I think first, it's kind of stopped my momentum of what I was doing with booking shows and being able to go to the studio with people and just collaborate. And, you know, I had to just kind of take a back seat and work on writing for a while. And at this point, now that venues are just kind of getting the feel of COVID and how to do the social distance show, I'm getting more opportunities for live music. And I'm also having my EP Culture drop in December 3rd. And I think this was a perfect time for me to just kind of ground myself and figure out what do I want my sound to be for my second EP and, you know, what can I do with this rather than just be kind of a SoundCloud rapper? How do I create that professionalism?
And what are some of the answers that you've arrived at for yourself? Like the difference in between what you would call just a SoundCloud rapper and taking that next step?
I would say, one, to just trust my own gut and my own style of music. I think, especially at my age, I'm 25, and to feel like I have to keep up with the trend or this is the sound that's hot right now. You know, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. If I make something that's good for me and like the people that I work with, if they're jamming too, I think that's just a win. And so just feeling comfortable with my own sound and my own voice.
That's great. How do you feel with what's going on in the world? You big Trump supporter or?
not at all. And hard no. Shout out to Kamala Harris. You know, that's just a huge win for women of color in general and women. At my show on Friday, I have this song called Way Out, and it is about Black Lives Matter and COVID and just being stuck in the house. And, you know, at the end of it, it's like, what are you going to do about it with Black Lives Matter? And my dad, Willie Halliburton, is the chief of police at Portland State. And so as I'm writing this song and as I'm getting ready to perform, I think it's important for myself to go to him and say, hey, I have this song about Black Lives Matter, but I also want to be respectful of you and your career and not say anything that would offend you. And so after he heard it, and he'd heard a snippet of it, but he heard it live at the show for the first time, and he got up on stage and just cried and just like gave me a huge hug. And so, you know, that was kind of my validation of I'm doing something right and I'm touching people, whether he's a police officer or people that are like within the protests as well. We're all feeling it and we're there for a specific cause.
You know, that's a stance that a lot of us haven't had the courage to take. And it's a very delicate subject because we're so polarized that to speak in a way that doesn't represent one pole of the narrative, you can actually lose the support of a lot of people. And what I want to say is, you know, I have to understand that there are people who we know, I'm one of them, who have friends that are police officers or who have family that are police officers. And there's, when you have a polemic where everything is either black or white, and you don't have the ability to examine nuance and actually have nuance as part of the dialogue or narrative, then you lose the ability to think about things and talk about things in a really critical way. To me, it's interesting to examine the contradictions between the fact that the institution of policing is one that often upholds white supremacy and is opposed to black existence in a brutal and terroristic way, and the fact that there are people of color and black folks who actually are police officers. Do you have those conversations with your dad?
Yes, definitely. And when the protests first started, I mean, this has just been a conversation throughout my life with my dad, especially him being a black man, a police officer. But when the protests started happening and I'm living downtown and I hear it every day, I was conflicted, one, because it's COVID, do I go out there? And two, is it disrespectful to him if I'm there? And so I went over to his house and I said, hey, I want to be out there, but I want to be respectful. How can we meet at a middle ground? And so for the first few protests, he was with me and he did all the protests. We marched and he made sure that, you know, first of all, my safety was number one, but two, that if he's going to be there, we're kind of a crutch for each other of if he's out there, he doesn't necessarily feel like his own safety is, you know, is, I guess, a priority to other people. But if he's there with his daughter as well, you know, we come as a unit and we're there for a specific message. So it's constant conversation we have in our family, and, you know, we're very open about it.
Man, that's intense, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the song, you know, when we were corresponding on email to set this up, I'm hoping my dog doesn't start barking right now, because that happened. But anyway, when we were talking on email, I was asking if you could be prepared to share some bars for the audience a cappella. Would you be willing to either share some of your favorite bars that you've written, or even some bars from the song that you talked about performing, that your father came up and embraced you and everything?
Yeah, totally. I'll do some bars from Way Out, the song that I performed. Masked up, trapped up, staying in the house, all shacked up. Master, let me run now. I'm a pass up, fast up on my nights out. I'm a pour a drip of Henny for those who can't shadow with me. Got the car whipping fast for the winning. Shimmy, 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 yeah. Bump a mine for the city. I've been done posting pictures for the sake of looking pretty. I'm a post up, show up. Now who with me? Now who with me? Mama sick and family cries. 5-0 dad up in the ride. Slayed off from the COVID highs. Check just said it ain't arrived. Life will hit you with the trials. I'm just glad to stay alive. When's the day when the world can crack a little smile?
Hey.
Hey. Yay. Thank you. Hey, thank you.
Very good. Hmm?
Dope.
So thank you.
Thank you for sharing. What challenges do you see in the future, and what gives you hope?
I think challenge is one of, you know, we're still stuck inside for the most part, and that social interaction just isn't there. And especially as artists, like, that's how you gain momentum, when you meet people, when you're out at shows, whether you're performing or just attending, that networking opportunity. Is a challenge, but I see it also as an opportunity to work on marketing as well. And so to really kind of create those outlets that aren't within your city. So reaching out to blogs or doing radio shows. And so that's just kind of shifted where my focus is right now. And it's still an opportunity to still connect.
Word. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, who do you like coming up in the Portland scene besides yourself?
I would say first, Amine. He's local. And, you know, when you see someone make that big of an impact so early on, it's just, you know, it's really cool to see someone from your own city really grow. Mm-hmm. I'd say Esperanza Spalding. She's not in hip hop, but a jazz artist. And so I think the fact that she had won a Grammy back in the early 2000s, where, you know, jazz itself isn't even like a mainstream genre, but to put Portland on a map like that is really cool. And another one is Red Ray Frazier. He played on Friday, and, you know, he was one of the first people right out of high school for me who had said, here's how to drop your first song. Here's something you should look at for marketing. And he was just a resource of knowledge for me. And, you know, it's been, I don't know, 7 years now, and he's still someone I refer to for guidance along this journey.
Well, you're so lucky you have Red Ray as a musical mentor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Ray is another OG. I have so much love and respect for that brother, man. Really inspiring cat. And I remember before Esperanza went away to go to Berkeley and eventually make her stardom manifest, the first time I saw her playing was in a group called Seventh Science Tribe, playing a live show at Hip Hop in the Park. And she was playing bass with them. Shout out to Luck One, one of my favorite local MCs. But so she did have that hip hop background. I remember at the time my band 100 Mob, I saw her play and I was so blown away that I wanted to reach out to her and ask her, would you consider playing on some studio tracks or even some doing some live stuff with Hungry Mob? But this is way back in the day of my days of MySpace, and some people weren't even born back then, right? It took me so long to find her contact info that she had already gone on to go to school on the East Coast. So I missed
out. If you dig through the Fossil record, you can find.
Because I think there were some different celestial bodies had exploded around that time, and if you could find the shells of insects that were walking the earth,
that were eating quality hip hop from.
Grind it into powder and put in a cup of water. Oh man,
I didn't know that.
You have to have humor in these times, you know.
Yeah, for real.
Let's stay in touch. We should have you back on around the release of your record, maybe shortly after. You said it's coming out December 3rd.
December 3rd, yeah, that's the date.
And what's the name of that going to be again?
Culture.
Culture.
Yeah, so it's also the name of the first single that came out as well. So, you know, just I feel like that sums up 2020 for me and what I'm trying to release.
And how do we spell your name when we want to put it in the search engine and find you online again?
Miss L, which is M-S dot E-L-L-E.
Okay. Great. Well, thanks for joining us today. I appreciate you making time.
Definitely. And thank you guys. Every opportunity I get to just, promote myself and just chat about hip hop is a win for me. So I had a good time.
Awesome.
Thanks, Michelle. You take care. We'll talk soon.
Thanks. You too. Peace. Talk soon.
Catch y'all next week, 2 weeks from now.
All right, Ryan. We'll talk soon.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Culture Emotion, listeners. And become a member of Cable. Donate. Keep this community radio alive. One love, y'all.
We'd like you to meet a friend of ours who goes by the name of Killer Joe. Picture a so-called hippie or hip cat standing on a corner in a neatly pressed, double-breasted, form-fitting pinstripe suit, a pair of pointed-toed shoes with bold white stitches around the soles, a black shirt, long white tie, a black pencil mustache, and, of course, a very wide-brimmed black felt hat. Killer Joe always has a pocket full of loot, but only the kind that jingles. You see, he likes to play the horses. He is most certainly a ladies' man. As a matter of fact, he is always willing to accept cash contributions from them for any cause, namely his own. The most important thing about Killer Joe that you have to know is that he's very much against manual labor. Killer Joe.
This is KBOO Portland.
KBOO is excited to be part of Willamette Week GiveGuide this year. When you support KBOO through GiveGuide, not only does it support your favorite community radio station, it also gives a little back to you in return. When you donate $10 or more,